The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Hey guys, I'm Whitney Port and this is With Wit. A lot of you may know me from reality TV, and the reality is a lot's happened since The Hills. With Wit is dedicated to having real, raw, and occasionally ridiculous conversations with the people who have had a profound impact on me. Life-changing moments, life-changing people. Because on With Wit, very little is off limits. I had such a fun conversation with Dina and Kristen of Big Little Feelings. They are just amazing. You may also know them as the toddler experts. I know you are going to love them if you don't already. They are just so relatable, and they have created the most welcoming, judgment-free space for parents to have open conversations and really, really listen and help each other. Dina and Kristen are wealths of knowledge, and they generously share all their simple but honestly game-changing parental advice. Okay, here they are. You are going to love this.
I'm so excited to have you two on. Like, I love everything that you guys are about, and I feel like just your energy with parenting is so refreshing and so necessary because there are just so many voices out there. And I'm like, I had a baby 6 years ago, so it wasn't as, I feel like it was starting to get very, like, everyone was having an opinion, but now it's like very, you know, everyone really has an opinion. And you just do it with such ease with all the craziness behind, you know what I mean? But I guess let's just start at the beginning. I'm so curious to know how the two of you met and how this all got started.
Kick it off.
We met here in Los Angeles. So we actually grew up here and then went to high school together. And we played softball together. So that's how we met. We were on the softball team.
I played softball.
You did?
Yes.
Did everybody play softball, I feel like, in our era?
I don't know. Yeah, I feel like maybe it was a 90s thing.
90s California
Los
thing.
Angeles
yeah,
thing.
Competitive yeah. softball.
Yeah, totally.
Yes. Marlins.
Okay, so you met, like, you were friends forever.
Yeah. When we met, I was older. Two years older?
Yeah, you were two grades ahead. Like the cool girl.
That's how she remembered two grades ahead. Yeah.
Oh, man. She's so big and so experienced.
More like the bad girl with like a lot of emotional trauma, stuffing it down in unhealthy ways at 16. And she was the opposite. The good girl who was like front of the class, always raising her hand. And we could not have been more opposite.
Yeah, like, but opposites attract. My best friend and I are exactly like that. Like, I always say she bullied me. Like, she was like my bully, where our moms had to come in and have a meeting with the teacher. It was like that bad. And then we realized when we got to the core of it that she was just like dying to be my best friend and didn't know how to like show her emotions, you know? So now we're best friends and having our entire lives.
Yeah, the yin and the yang.
Yes, like, perfect, totally. You know? Totally.
Yeah.
Okay, so then how did the Big Little Feelings come about? Like, was there expertise in parenting, and like, what's the background there?
Yeah, well, I at the time had a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, so I was like in the thick of it. I had horrible postpartum anxiety, and Dean at the time was a child therapist in LA, renowned, like, she's very impressive. She worked under Dan Siegel, which is a very big deal. So super impressive. Mm-hmm. And I was the mom who was on Instagram and was like voraciously eating stuff up. And you probably remember at that time, 7 years ago, motherhood was just like Pinterest and like perfect little shapes and blowouts and like selfie ring lights. It was such a different landscape on Instagram.
Such a different landscape.
And I was not like that. And I had postpartum anxiety, and I'm trying to get this baby to sleep and she never sleeps. And I'm like rocking her and crying in a shower, you know, and just being like, what is wrong with me? Like, A, what's wrong with me? And B, what do I do?
Right.
Because I was reading all these parenting books that were really like vague and clinical and again made me feel like shit. Like, well,
and
just
not
don't
specific
ever yell.
To you. And yes, yes.
So we just had this idea together where we were like, we just didn't see what we wanted out there. We didn't see real moms. We didn't see real advice. We didn't see something that like anyone could do, even if they're exhausted. And we married those two together and we started Big Little Feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of like what we needed ourselves.
Right.
Just when your kid's crying, you can't really think back to what you read and like translate this really high level theory into like, what do I do?
Right.
What do I say right now?
Of course. Yeah. Right. It's so hard and you don't know who to turn to. And I find what I was trying to say before was like when I had Sunny, I really just wanted to turn to like two people. Like I didn't want to have this huge, like listen to all these people and have all these voices in my head because then I would get confused and I wouldn't be able to tune into like my own gut. Yeah. And so I feel like for you guys are like that trusted resource, like one of the three to four that you turn to for that kind of advice.
Honored.
Yeah.
Honored. No, for real. Crazy. Like I really, really find that. And I feel like everyone feels that way. And I feel you guys have talked so much about like loving boundaries, which I know, which is something that everybody needs and something that I haven't really learned to take on until later in life. And I think it's something that we can teach our kids in a healthy way. And I think it's something that we need to really like honor and respect. I want to talk more about that and how that relates to your own personal lives and how that relates to you and your kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, boundaries are super important. And I think a lot of us in our generation, we were taught the exact opposite. Yeah. Like we were taught anything you feel, shove it down. Mm-hmm. Anything you need, be quiet, sit still, be a good girl, be a good boy. Mm-hmm. And boundaries are amazing because you're teaching your kid, they can feel the way that they feel and what is not okay with you, the parent. And as they grow up, they're going to continue to use that when they're seeing you do it with them. They're going to see you do it with your partner. They're going to see you do it. Hey, I'm feeling this way. And I won't let you. I won't let you hit. I won't let you do this. Mm-hmm. What a healthy experience instead of what we all tend to do, which is like shove our feelings down.
And then,
and then they explode.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the idea that all feelings are okay and certain behaviors are not. And so our mission as parents becomes helping them learn how to deal with these feelings, with these tricky social situations in healthy ways.
Mm-hmm. I think that we forget like how innocent their little brains are. And our brains are so like convoluted with so much and we're like overanalyzing everything. And I think their brains are like so innocent and all these feelings are, they're so big for them and they have no idea how to navigate them and they don't have the words to explain it either. I'm seeing it now with a six-year-old. You start to see how much they have absorbed throughout the past 6 years. And like, it's really amazing to, I think like, I don't want to like pat myself on the back, but I think.
You should.
Take a moment and
I listened to how he talks like versus how he was when he was three. He was in a phase where he was like hitting and his teachers were calling us and he was having like really big feelings. And then I think that we were just really able to work through it with him and talk about it with him. And now he's just like the sweetest, sweetest, sweetest little boy. And just to see that shift has been like, I don't know, it's really, really rewarding.
You see all your hard work finally, like it comes out
because
it does take time. Honestly, I always think of it, it's like planting seeds. This is what I tell my parents in the therapy practice.
Yeah.
Like you have to do these things consistently over and over and you're not going to see it happen right away.
No, that's the hard part.
And then
the
one day you'll
see
it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's not just, I think, with feelings, because that's where a lot of, I think, the emphasis is like feelings and being okay with feelings. That's great because then you see your kid go up to another kid at the playground, right? And be like, hey, are you okay? And you're teaching empathy.
Yes.
But boundaries are just as important because if we're just permissive, like that's not it, right?
Right,
and when we do have a boundary, what you also see at 6 and 7 and 8 is amazing. You'll watch your kid at the playground go up and say, hey, I don't like that.
Right.
Please stop.
Like that doesn't make
And they
me
learn
feel
that.
Good.
Yeah. They learn that from you when you say, hey, it's okay to feel mad, but please stop this, right? Mm-hmm, like, they're mm-hmm. learning everything you're doing with consistency.
They're literally new to life. Like, they're right. just experiencing all these
observing
things.
Observing it for the first time.
Mixed with their brains are not yet fully developed.
Right.
So the prefrontal cortex, the part that helps you think and plan and reason and control your impulses, by the way, is not fully developed. So it's that mix that we're seeing. And right. the more we help them understand, like, oh, you know, hitting's not okay, but here's what you can do when you feel mad.
Right.
We're actually helping them build that over time.
Mm-hmm. It also mm-hmm. doesn't fully develop until 25, by the way. I feel
oh,
like that.
And for boys, like 28, by the way, mm-hmm. which
oh
is
my
wild.
God.
That's like
yeah.
such wow. a missing piece of yeah. the conversation where wow. you're like, well, you're four. You can say the words. So, like, you should be able to get this together
to understand
now, right?
This.
You shouldn't be like wailing on the floor anymore because you can say it. But we're still growing and teaching all
yep.
the way.
That time. That's so, my mom used to say, like, you're not done cooking yet. Like, she would yeah, always.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Get a taste of N, a hot new collection of craveable intimates from Maidenform, a brand with a whole lot of history. They've been around since the very first bras, and now they're bringing you a new kind of classic, the chicest basics you've ever seen. I've been wearing Maidenform forever, ever since I started wearing bras. They were one of the brands that made the most comfortable bras for, like, girls just budding. And Maidenform is a brand with 100 years of innovation and category leadership. They wrote the book on bras, and M is their next big chapter. The material is buttery soft, super breathable, and just the most comfortable underwear I could dream up. I am a huge fan of the Barely There high leg cut, which I wear to bed, but all of their styles come in a range of beautiful colors. They're so silky smooth and totally invisible under clothing, which is so important to me, just like seamless and comfortable and amazing. All of their luxurious fabrics stretch and move with your body, and they just feel way more luxe and expensive than they are. Great style and comfort does not need to break the bank. Another thing I love about this collection. So even though they're made to be innerwear, Maidenform's pieces are also super cute to wear out of the house and easy to style to your taste. So like a little bralette with a blazer and a jean. Visit Maidenform.com and use code WITHWIT20 at checkout for 20% off your first purchase. That's Maidenform.com and use code WITHWIT20 for 20% off your first order.
Hey, I'm Josh Peck.
And I'm Ben Soffer.
And we're the good guys. On our show, every week we talk about buzzy pop culture stories.
Maybe answer a couple of your voicemails. And go into a moment of the week that makes you say, what are you, nuts?
And I swear, it's so much better than this promo. Anyway, there's a lot of guys out there, but
we're the good ones. Stream Good Guys every Monday wherever you get your podcasts. Apple, Spotify, anywhere.
You know what? Don't listen.
So also, I feel like there used to be this trend. Obviously, you guys have talked about this, of like helicopter parenting, or not even used to be. There is that out there. So the helicopter parenting is obviously like the overbearing, just like monitoring every move and just like not letting them find their independence.
Exactly. You're yeah. hovering, you're right on them, you're telling them what to do in every situation. And here's the thing, when you do that, you kind of rob them of the chance to learn how things work.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay for kids to make mistakes, own those mistakes, mm-hmm. and learn from mm-hmm. those mistakes. Mm-hmm. It's actually like critical.
Totally. It yeah. really is. You have to let them, like, that was a really hard lesson for me to learn too. Cause I still, like, I wanna rescue him all the time. Mm-hmm. And even in the morning, like, I'll get him dressed still. Like, I'll put on his, and Timmy's like, you know, he's 6 years old. He should be getting dressed on his own. Like, this is a, you know, and so I will want to sometimes like baby him, but it's like, that's not doing him any.
It's because we
service.
Love them. We I love know. Them and yeah. we want them to like yeah. be okay. I totally yeah. get it. My husband and I honestly had to check ourselves just last week on exactly this.
Really?
Where we were like, hold up. We're kind of like trying to give him
everything
ideas
he wants.
All the time.
Yeah.
And like, whoa, slow down and let him just figure it out on mm-hmm. his own.
Or like finishing their sentences. Or now even he's like wants water. I'm like, Go get yourself those cups.
You can do it.
You got this. You know?
Yeah.
I'm like, that's why I sent you to a Montessori school. So you have your little area of snacks. You know where to go.
Well, I think our generation just responded again to like the previous generation or the way we were parented. So yes. I don't know about you. Well, it seems like you had maybe a little bit better of a childhood. But the 80s in general, it's just kind of like, fend for yourself.
Totally.
Stop crying. Like, don't be annoying.
Out.
Go away.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're still at least. Even
totally.
In the best.
Manners,
even
say your best. Please exactly. And thank yous. Like everything on paper that they thought was important, but not really digging into like how anything was actually making us feel or how they were making us feel.
And teaching you like social emotional skills or how to manage your own anger or coping skills.
Right.
And so I think we all kind of like, the next generation overcompensated, obviously, because it's like what we all miss from our childhood. Like, and then we were too involved, where it's just like you have to fix everything, even a feeling, right? Where it's just like all of our instincts when our kids are sad, we either might be mad because it's like irritating us and triggering, and that's totally okay. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times for me, it's more that I'm like, oh my God, I just want to solve this. Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. Here's some dessert, or here's like a this, or here's a that. Mm-hmm. And you're really not doing anyone a service that way.
No,
like we
they're
have
not
to
feeling
kind of
any
step
feelings.
Back and not attach ourselves to this little person so that they can just experience like the full range of emotions and then experience how to, you know, cope through life.
Yeah.
Which is so healthy. We have a full range of feelings, and no feeling is good, no feeling is bad. Mm-hmm. They're all just feelings that help us guide us through life, really. They're all important.
So true. I think the no good or bad is so important. The labeling anything good or bad, or be good or don't be bad, or that, it's like it infiltrates your life in so many ways. And I think we used to say it a little bit when he was younger, and now I hear it in different ways that's coming out. It's like are calories bad? And it's like, no, there's not. And beyond just emotions, I'm saying like the good and the bad, the labeling that is something that we really like need to pay attention to, because I think that they're paying so much attention to that and absorbing all that. Do you find like now, so you have a 2 and a 3-year-old, like you're so in it at the moment. How hard is it to like, when shit hits the fan, like take a step back and use your rational, like educated, experienced mind and like handle it appropriately versus like, you know what I mean? Versus
totally.
Just like really letting shit hit the fan. Like, are you, how do you deal?
You know, what's your batting average?
Yeah.
not batting 1,000. No one is.
No, not. And I was going to say, like, as a literal child therapist, I lose my shit.
Yeah.
You know,
we're human.
All do.
Yeah.
And there are definitely things that I struggle with. Like, I have a few key triggers, and I feel like the thing about triggers, we all have them. If you know what they are, you're more set up to kind of navigate them
and know how to deal with
the best you can, because they're still going to happen. Like being in a car while my kids are both crying, like drives me crazy. And the only thing
that
I can do is just try to be like, okay, just breathe until we get home. It's better. I honestly am to the point with that one where I'm like, it's better to stay quiet than yell right now. Just stay quiet.
Yeah.
That's all we can do. I can't do anything else, because
so
if I open my mouth right now, it's not going to be great.
You add fuel to the fire. You realize that like the calmer you are, hopefully the calmer the environment will come, become. Yeah.
100%.
But a lot of times too, I try to kind of like mantra myself through it. Like,
yes.
You know, there are three. I'm 34.
Like I can,
you know,
handle this.
And like tantrums are good. Tantrums are normal. They're healthy. All feelings are healthy. I try to like walk myself through it as best I can, knowing that there are times where, you know, we all lose it. And then that's about repair.
Right.
Which I think is a huge thing in our generation versus definitely how I grew up in my family. There was no repair.
Right.
There was no talking about what happened after, or apologizing, or owning that, you know what? I had a big feeling, and yelling is not a great way to let it out. I'm going to work on that. If I said anything to my parents, like their response would be, well, next time listen to me the first time and I won't have to yell at you.
Totally. Right. And it's this balance between like gentle parenting and still having like your loving boundaries. You know what I mean? It's so important to allow them to feel their feelings so that they can connect to them and they know how to it's the same way that we do, know how to talk themselves out of it, know how to, like we, Sonny and I talked about when he's, because he has a hard time, he gets frustrated at things and then he kind of wants to give up. Like mm-hmm. a lot of kids, it's normal. He's not good at something and then he doesn't really want to follow through. And so I tried to talk to him, to even giving him a mantra like, okay, take a deep breath, like maybe take go outside, like ask your teacher if you can take a little lap around the playground or something that. And then yeah. like come back and say like, I got this or whatever, giving them tools and like giving ourselves the same and treating ourselves like we are little kids too and being like really gentle on ourselves. I think that that's been really helpful. And becoming a parent has allowed me to connect with that more. Like what I was like as a kid, my feelings, like how I can, I don't know, just look at myself as that little kid and just be, I don't know, kinder to myself.
And you like start to notice your own responses. Like
yes.
frustration tolerance, by the way, I cannot see any situation where a child mirrors a parent more than frustration tolerance, mm-hmm. where we're like, mm-hmm. be patient, mm-hmm. don't give up, mm-hmm. you can do it. And then the slightest inconvenience happens to us as adults and we're like, oh, come on, man. You know, we're in traffic. So, and our kids are watching
they
that.
See
they will
it.
Literally, I was the other day in a room and I was with my husband and he like dropped his water bottle and he's like, come on. Oh, you know, he's like, whatever. And I go out and my 5-year-old is like building a tower and it falls. And I hear her, no joke. She's like, come on, God.
There it's it like, is.
You have to, when you become a parent, you realize like, oh my God, what am I doing? How yeah. do I cope in hard situations? Mm-hmm. And now like, we focus so much, I think, our generation on like the perfect script and the perfect way to talk to our kids. But mm-hmm. the most important thing you can do is actually do it yourself. Mm-hmm. Like if nothing else,
it's so true.
Let it go of how you're parenting your kid and just work on your own reactions and your own
and
coping
take care
skills.
Of
and they'll just sponge it from you.
It's yeah. so true.
Just do that.
It's 100%.
So true. It's so important. Like beyond the parenting tips, beyond what books you're reading or who you're talking to or what, you know, it's just like really leaning into how you are talking to yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. So I obviously looked through your Instagram and it's so addictive and filled with so many good tips. And I thought that we could just do like a little fun rapid fire thing.
Ooh.
Where I give you some scenarios and then you give your expert advice. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Okay, cool. All right. So how to deal with the why phase.
Go. Ooh, the why phase.
Yeah.
This one, it can be a lot.
Yeah.
Like I'm actually in it right now as we speak with my 2-year-old. Mm-hmm. Everything is a, but why?
Yeah.
Why? And
yeah.
then you give an answer and it's like, why? And at some point you're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I am not a scientist.
I
cannot
with that
tell
a lot
you
even now with the 6.
Why the moon and the ocean? Like, I don't have an answer.
Is it okay to say, like, I don't know?
Absolutely.
I literally am like,
yes.
He asked me, yeah. he was reading a map last night, and he's like, what are these numbers on the whatever? And I'm like, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, you know what? You're in kindergarten. Like, let's ask your teacher tomorrow.
That's what I say.
I actually don't know.
Yeah. And I have a little hack for you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't use it every time, but definitely keep this in your pocket. Why do you think,
mm-hmm,
right? Like
mm-hmm.
you're still present, you're still engaged in the conversation, but you're also giving them a chance to pause and now look inside to themselves
right.
and create their own voice.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be super helpful.
And I think that's great for like the toddler stage, yeah. right? Where it's like, it's a little different than looking at an atlas and being like,
there's a science to this,
yeah.
I know. Like,
even
literally.
As they get older, I like to fuel their curiosity. Like they are mm-hmm. little scientists. I don't want to stifle that. And
mm-hmm.
if I don't know the answer, we'll kind of shift into more of a science thing. Like, what's your hypothesis? I actually don't know. And so I will guess and they will guess. And like maybe we will Google it or
yeah,
maybe we will ask
up.
Your teacher
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
like,
oh. Okay, next one. A tantrum right before leaving the house.
Ooh, easy one. We all go through this.
Yes.
I think it's inevitable. So A, you have to buffer in more time.
Okay.
You cannot expect your child to get out of the house the way that an adult would.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You
mm-hmm.
have to buffer in tantrum time.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, some people allegedly get things ready the night before. I don't do that, but I think that
I don't
that
either.
Would help some people because they have some sense of, you know, order
control,
and control.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
My thing for me, because I'm not that way, is starting earlier and earlier and earlier
mm-hmm.
because you really have to buffer in that
mm-hmm.
time. Even
mm-hmm.
if it's not a tantrum, you're buffering the time of like, well, where are your shoes? Well, where are this? And then the other thing, though, is swooping in with a boundary, like we talked about. Mm-hmm. We don't need to be letting a tantrum happen for 45 minutes, negotiating or pleading or saying, you know, it's okay to be sad for 45 minutes. If we need to get out the door, we can say, it's okay to be sad. You don't want to put your shoes on. I'm putting your shoes on right now. I'm going to help you. And we pick them up and we get them out the door. Yeah. We have to hold that boundary, but that boundary takes longer to get out the door.
Of course.
I think being realistic, especially with toddlers, it's like hurting little cats sometimes.
Yeah.
Totally. You know, like, and it has to do with their brain development, by the way. They're not being manipulative or anything
they
like that.
They don't have any defiant sense of time or why they would need to be somewhere or why they would even need to get dressed.
Prefrontal
or
cortex.
They're just out exploring the world.
By the way, when they get old, they get older, it's like it's less that where they're just like cats, and then you know this. It's like, well, I need to put this ball on top of the refrigerator and see if it falls down, and then I need to see the splash at the bottom. And wait a minute, I need to wrap this
little scientist.
I'm going to bring Penny a present, so like it doesn't actually end because there's still no concept of time or needing to get out the door.
Yeah.
And so
100%.
It's like swooping in with that boundary. That sounds great, and they might be upset while you're walking out the door because it's time to leave. Now.
Right. Like you have to set, you eventually have to set that boundary. So, okay, next thing. You're in a store and your child is begging for a toy when you have a million toys at home. This is something I feel like, Sunny, it's not even, it can be a store, it can be just asking for more and setting the boundaries. Like, I feel like we kids just get so much these days. And I mean, I think that they're just like so easily spoiled. I don't want to speak for everyone. I'm speaking for myself. Like, what? Yeah. How? What do you say to them? What can you? What are the boundaries that you set there?
Well, I think it's really hard because, especially with toddlers, by the way, they're just crying. Like, it feels like it's nonstop, and so naturally, part of you is going to want to be like, here. Just have it and make it stop.
Something small. Easy way out.
Yeah. Like, here, something tiny. Yeah. But we've kind of taught them in those moments, too, if we do this all the time, that, like, yes, the longer, harder, stronger you cry, I'm going to give up and just give you what you want eventually.
Right. Mm-hmm.
With toddlers, it can be helpful to prep ahead of time and let them know if you're going to, you know, Target or whatever store that has the toys that they love. Let them know today we're not going to be getting a toy so that they at least have it in their mind. And then you got to hold that boundary and be okay with feelings. Mm-hmm. But we also have another little hack that Kristen, I love this one. Yeah. You came up with this.
Gold.
You can have them stand with the toy that they really want and take a picture and say, okay, we're going to take this picture and I'm going to add it to your list for your birthday. So we
and
remember.
That doesn't mean they're getting everything on the list for their birthday, but it means when, especially with their older kids, you can put it in an album, right?
Yes.
And so now you have like, well, it could be 200 or it could be 15, but it could be all these things that you can maybe choose from, right?
Right.
So now you can choose like three and the novelty is worn off by then.
Right.
It's not like
they
want
even
all the things in there. And that actually works a lot of the time, by the way, because it kind of insatiates this, like, I need to have this. And like, okay, like, maybe you will.
Yeah. But
and
let's
then when
think
that does
this.
Not work,
yeah.
It's just like everything else. It's like what Dina's saying. I think I was watching some show, and I won't call them out because it's a reality show and they're wonderful parents. But I was watching them, and the mom said something like, Sylvia's so spoiled. Like every time we go to Target, she wants a toy, you know, like sometimes I give in and I get it for her and she's so spoiled because every time, and I'm thinking to myself like, but this is because we reinforced that.
Yes,
each time
that's what
that
I'm
you
feeling.
Sometimes
totally.
Do and sometimes don't. It's confusing and
totally.
It's hard. And they're like, of course I'm going to cry longer and harder because that usually
like,
will get the
I'll
toy.
Get it.
Yeah. So it's like you have to be consistent.
It's
you can't just sometimes be like,
so
okay.
Hard. The consistency in parenting is just,
it's so hard.
I mean, it's hard for me in my life regardless. Like
same.
Consistency is just difficult.
Yeah.
But like, I just find that with the, when emotions get involved, it's just like so hard to connect to that. But we this is just such a good reminder.
It's like the best example of that too. I forgot what, we did some podcast and the dad had done this thing at bedtime where like, 6 months down the line, long story short, is before bed, he was reading 16 books. They had some sort of like game they had to play and then he would put lipstick on and then he had to, it was like the most insane series
routine.
Of things that was an hour and 25 minutes at that point.
Yeah.
Because when you do something one time,
then
they really will
expect,
and it's okay if you do it one time, but rein it back in. But if you don't rein it back in with that consistency, like we're reading one book for bedtime.
Uh-huh.
If you read two books for bedtime, one to two times, you better expect that they're going to lose
You're
it
so
if you
right.
don't do it again.
Boundaries are hard, but if you don't want to raise entitled kids, You have to set boundaries.
Yeah. You just have to.
And that means being okay with the feelings that come with it. You can have loving, kind boundaries.
They actually feel safer that way. Like them screaming and crying is not a reflection of you being a bad parent or doing anything wrong. They actually feel safer when they know every night we're having one book, right?
And then they can have these breakdowns with you as like supportive parents there and not in like the real world when they're having breakdowns and don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah. And you can teach them how to deal with that disappointment because it's okay to be disappointed. They're going to be disappointed their whole life. Right. We don't have to go out of our way to disappoint them because it's going to happen naturally.
We just want to help them know how to deal with it when they are disappointed.
And when you lovingly are there with them, staying in the relationship, you've now taught them that when things are hard in life or you have a big feeling, you don't have to go isolate yourself. Mm-hmm. You can stay with people who love you and have a hard time. Mm-hmm. And I think so much of us have shame. You know, we didn't have this growing up. And now we've got this shame thing around feelings. Feelings are natural and normal.
Right. You know, and feeling like when you start crying, you don't want anyone to see
you. Yeah. You apologize.
It's such a weird thing.
We want vulnerable kids. Vulnerability is great.
100%.
Like,
100%.
Knowing what you're feeling is just step one to being able to handle it.
Okay, next one. Your kid throws something at you in anger. My sister is dealing with this right now, too. Like, also just slapping her in the face. So,
And they're two right now, by the way.
They pretty much, like, all toddlers will explore hitting and throwing at some point. That's really natural. And it's exactly what we've been talking about. We're going to okay that feeling and let them know it's okay to feel frustrated. It's okay to feel mad, whatever they're feeling in that moment. And I can't let you throw. Throwing's not safe. I can't let you hit. Hitting is not safe. I'm going to help your arm come down now. I'm going to take the blocks out of your hand, right? So we're holding a boundary, not just with words, but with our actions.
And I think one of the most important parts of this, though, that gets missed is especially at that young age, we are not giving a big reaction. That is either when they playfully throw something at you or they're playfully hitting. We can't be like, ooh, ha, 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 and, you know.
Like, uh-oh.
Yeah, that can be really confusing. And when they're mad, too, we can't be like, no, God, you know, like it's instinctual reaction to be like, we don't hit because your toddler's brain wants a big reaction. They want your attention. They want you to be like, get down to their level and look them right in the eyes and like grab their hands. That's their dream, actually, is to get any kind of attention in that way. And so staying really even keeled because we're not going to give a lot to that. And it really will pass so much faster if we can just really stay calm, which is so hard when you're physically being.
Sunny hates that now. So like I'll have just a very still kind of like serious face. And he, like, he immediately will stop. It's okay to be firm. I know, but I don't want him to be scared of me in the way that, like, I was a little bit scared of my mom. Like, I mean, and I, my mom, I think that she set healthy boundaries in a way where we were very respectful of that, of our parents, but we were also really close with them and could talk to them about anything. But I think sometimes my mom would give me this look, you know, and it would, I would, like, immediately be scared. And I don't want to do that with Sunny. So there's a difference between like, show me what your firm looks
My
like.
My firm?
Yeah.
Like when I'm doing it right, not when I've like
fucked when
up.
You're doing it right.
I think with hitting, it's like, it's something like, let me pretend it literally happened yesterday where I'm like, I won't let you. I won't let you. It's not okay to hit. It's something like that. You know,
that
like I'm being serious, but I'm not scaring him.
No.
I'm not like, no, you know.
Right.
But we're serious, you know.
I feel like I'll be serious, but then I'll give this like look that I'm like not proud of and I don't want to scare him.
We all do that.
Yeah.
We all do that.
Ugh, okay.
I think though it's okay to be firm. Like I just want you to feel comfortable in that, especially as women growing up. I feel like we've been conditioned like we always have to be soft and nice.
It's true. No, it's I have a hard time with the discipline piece with knowing my boundaries with it, knowing how much is too much and like not like letting him steamroll me, you know.
But you can also like listen to your intuition. Like if the look, like I do that too and I'm like, "God, that didn't feel good." Cuz for me, I knew I was doing it like to scare them because I was triggered, you know. And I don't like when I do that.
I know.
I want to have a like I mean this.
Yes.
You know, that's the happy medium, but we're going to mess that up when we get triggered sometimes. I totally do. I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it.
I don't like it about myself. Yeah, and then I see this kind of like scared little puppy dog face and I'm like, no.
I can't believe I just did that.
And then, but then I'm like, now I should apologize.
For sure.
And I do that. I mean, I really want to be more present in that. And when I like, make sure that I'm taking responsibility for what I'm doing and showing him that I'm human.
Yeah. I saw all my hard work come into practice and like come into real life with my 3-year-old the other day where I had one of those moments. And so, you know, it's been like a long, busy day and I'm doing a million things and he says something and I'm like, what? Like,
yeah.
And he looks at me and he's like, now, Mom, I don't think that was the kindest way to say that. So if you
he's also an amazing 3-year-old, by the way.
Oh my God. You might want to take a deep breath and try again.
And I was like, I love that when your kids start telling you those things where you're just like, you might want to take some belly breaths, Mom.
Yeah. That's amazing.
You have a good idea. I will.
Therapist with you. That's so awesome.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Okay. This one. I don't know, maybe you guys are dealing with this right now. Your older child is jealous of their younger sibling.
Oh, yeah.
Has that happened?
Yes, all the time. And it's the smallest things, too. It'll be like, oh, you know, that art, like you work so hard on that. And my oldest will be like, I'm creative, too.
Right,
I'm
right.
Like, I know
what about
are.
The time that I worked hard?
Oh, man. It just gets, well, it gets interesting as they get older. There's so many feelings of self-worth and independence that you have to work on. Mm-hmm. My biggest thing is just trying my very best to have like special time as they get older in their interest. Like when they're younger, it's so easy because you can kind of do special time in like a room with Legos.
Totally.
You don't have to do much.
Right.
So please, if you have a little one, like your special time should just be nothing.
Just playing.
And then as they get older, I feel like you have to lean really into like, okay, I'm going to take this one to the pottery one. I'll take the other one to like a gymnastics meet or a football game. Really having that one-on-one time so they feel full, fulfilled, you notice them, you're with them.
And if you see it happening, you can find a quiet moment with them one-on-one at some point.
Yeah.
And just validate it. If you've seen it, you know, being hard for them, let them know
it is hard.
And it's okay to feel that way. And listen, no one can replace you.
Right.
You know, you are special. And
even talking through like it's hard being a big sister.
Yeah.
It's hard being a middle sister. I love doing that with my kids because again, our parents did a great job. All of our parents did a great job. Mm-hmm. But everything really was like diminishing or shameful. It was like, what's wrong with you? You love your sister, you know?
Right.
And like if I think back to those moments, all I really needed was someone to hear me.
Just validate my feelings.
Validate my experience right now. You know, you still love them. And then they come out of it. Like, let them get it out.
Right.
Let them say that.
So
great.
True.
Like, that's a game changer.
That's how they feel.
Yeah.
Okay. This next one. You lost your shit at your child and you feel remorseful.
Repair. Best thing you can do. You can just go in and truly own it and model exactly what you would want them to do.
Totally.
Which is just like, hey, I'm really sorry I yelled. That probably made you feel sad and scared, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm really sorry. Yelling is not the best way to let that out. Mm-hmm. And next time, I'm going to try to take a deep breath. I'm going to try to work on letting it out without yelling next time, which is great because guess what? They're going to do that. That's part of being human. And we want them to be able to own it and commit to growth.
Right.
And still be a loving family even when we've made mistakes.
Right. It's so true. And yeah, again, like modeling that behavior because that's exactly what you want your child to do. Okay. Some marriage stuff. So tips for like staying on the same page with your partner when you guys may have some differing opinions on how to... I feel like Timmy and I have mostly been on the same page. You know, I feel like the key is obviously finding a partner that you just like believe that they're going to be like a good parent and like choosing the right partner from the get-go. But I think that there are some parents that, people have different styles and that's okay. And so any tips for staying on the same page when you guys have different techniques?
I think that a lot of people don't necessarily do the groundwork when it comes to parenting. A lot, you know, if you drive a car, Mm-hmm. You will study and then you will do a test. If you're going to exercise, you're probably going to have like an instructor. You're probably not just going to start out and know how to do like CrossFit in your own gym. And it really is cliche, but it doesn't have to be our course. It can be any course. It can be any book. But read the same thing or watch the same thing. You don't have to do hours and hours and hours and hours. But so many parents are just kind of like, we're all winging it and we think we should know how to do this. And that's not the truth.
Right.
Like, we don't know what we're doing.
We can't just like trust our gut or our instinct.
Yeah, and maybe we don't want to repeat our own childhood. So then we're going to naturally repeat our own. So getting on the same page and reading the same thing. And then if one parent is kind of deviating a little bit this way or a little bit that way, it's not such a divide. And again, this could be any book out there. It doesn't have to be one way. Find the one that's going to like kind of be with what you think for your parenting. And then try to get on the same page and deviate a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We had, Timmy and I had a thing the other day. Like, he called me out in front of Sunny for doing something. And I was not behaving appropriately. This podcast is making me seem like a terrible mom.
You're crushing it.
Like, he was asking me for something. And he wouldn't stop. And then I went like this. Try to trigger him to stop. And Timmy was like, you can't, you're just talking over him. You're not letting him get his thought out. And I was like, you're right. And I wasn't mad at Timmy for saying that because I was doing the wrong thing. But in that moment, I just felt so shameful that I did the wrong thing. Mm. And it's like, it kind of bleeds into my next question, which is more about like fighting in front of your kids. But the calling out in front of your kids is probably not like the best thing to do, right? Like,
that was actually going to be my tip.
Yeah.
And the first thing you said, which is all about timing.
Yeah.
Right? It's about timing and the way that we do it.
Mm-hmm.
Where when we are kind of like aggressively calling out our partner, like maybe not what we want our kids to internalize is the way that they deal with relationships later.
Mm-hmm.
But we can definitely be like, hey, let's connect on that later.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then later being like, hey, are you okay to talk now about what went on earlier? Right?
Yeah.
So it's not so much like an attack to the person, but you're on the same team.
I think like, that's what I felt. It was like he was right and I shouldn't have done that. But I felt just like immediately bad about myself, which I guess it's on one hand, I'm like, I should feel bad about myself
because
I just did something so rude to my kid.
But
I know, but you know what I mean?
Yes, yeah.
So then I was like, you know, in a mood with him and blah, blah, blah. But that usually I feel like Timmy and I are very responsible and respectful about having certain serious conversations or fights or whatnot behind closed doors, like without Sunny. Like I don't, my parents like kind of went on the opposite spectrum. They like kind of hid everything from us. And so we kind of never knew stuff that was going on. And even certain stuff, like when my dad started to get sick, like it was we always were kind of like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And then Timmy lived in a household where his parents were always fighting in front of him. And he was always worried that they were going to get divorced. Mm. And so, you know, so he lived with that. And I'm curious what you guys feel is like the appropriate middle ground there.
I think that when it comes to relationships like our marriages and parenting, try to avoid a you statement.
Yeah.
I think right off the bat, those never really land well.
Totally.
But in that moment, if it's getting escalated, I think it's okay for someone to be like, hold on, it's getting escalated here. Let's pause.
Yeah.
I'm hearing you doing this and I'm hearing you doing this and giving it a chance now to kind of take a different path without really like, you know, going at someone.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
In a dream world, you show your kids healthy conflict.
Yes.
You don't actually want to show them a lack of conflict because that's not realistic.
Right.
Like, the two of them are having, you know, your two kids are having conflict. Everybody's going to have conflict in the house and you still love each other. So in a dream world, you're using you statements. You're using I feel statements. You're saying, hey, you know, when you didn't take the trash out, I felt XYZ instead of being like, why didn't you?
Why didn't you?
So in a dream world, or like if they watch you have a conflict that wasn't great, let them watch you repair. Mm-hmm. And that's something I'm really working on, because my husband and I would always repair after bedtime, right? Mm-hmm. Because yeah. it's like, yeah. now I'm calm, now I'm regulated. Yeah. So now they've seen us bicker, but they didn't get to see us be like, hey, earlier I was just feeling really stressed out. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And so that's something I'm at least working on that, even if I can't have like perfect healthy conflict all the time in front of them, at least let them see like, hey mom, I'm really sorry. Like, I shouldn't have done that.
Too. And to be really honest, like my marriage, we talk about this on our podcast, like my marriage got rocked when I had kids. Mm-hmm. I thought that we were really ready to just co-parent like an amazing team. And, you know, we love each other so much. Mm-hmm. We'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. And like it went south so quickly and was so hard for like 2 straight years.
Oh my God. What was the, what do you feel like that shift was? I mean, I know it was obviously like
2 under 2
kids.
But yeah.
But
2 under 2.
What were you finding like the most difficulty with? What were the pain points there?
I think we never really talked about how, as 2 working parents, like how was the house and the childcare thing like really
going to look?
Like
how are we actually splitting the responsibilities?
Yeah. And having like, you know, you hear about how your life is going to change, but once you're in it and now all of a sudden your entire day is flipped on its head.
Yeah.
Like how are we actually going to do this together?
Yeah.
And who's going to kind of like not give up, but a little bit like who's going to, you know, how do we flex? And then it ended up, because we didn't actually talk about it, it pretty much fell on me as a working mom. And I was like, I am dying. I am underwater here and I can't get myself out. And I felt like I shouldn't have to ask for help. Like we signed up to have children together. This is something we chose. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to have to go to someone and ask, like, can you please help me watch the kids? Like, no, these are your kids.
Know. Right.
So it took us a long time to figure out how to actually speak to each other and like, for him to change his life.
I mean, I think that's so normal. And I think that most parents actually deal with that, because it is something, you know, I feel like a lot of first time parents will be like, no one ever told me. And it's like, everybody knows. Yeah. It's just, it doesn't matter to you. And you can't understand how it's going to affect you until it actually does. And all our lives are so different and how we manage them is so different. No one can give you the formula or the handbook for how to manage it all. And I think that a lot of the times it does fall on the mom. And we know that. And I think
research supports that.
Yeah, exactly.
Even with both parents working, the childcare falls on, what is it, like 90%?
It's like, it's not just the childcare, but the house, like the household, all the entire mental load. It's like 90% still on the mom, even if she's the main breadwinner in the house, is what does. So it can just snowball, because like at first, you're really the only like sustenance for this little
human being.
Yeah. You know, and like, especially in your scenario, I just watched where like one person's life completely changed and the other ones didn't like change at all. Like the man's life for some don't change at all. They have 2 weeks paternity leave or no paternity leave.
In my case, he was and right so, back to work.
Oh yeah. God. And so it can change. It's just that division, it can just snowball for so long for so many of us.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy to hear that, like, there's been...
Bless therapy. Let me just say that. Yes. Therapy is what helped everyone in my house.
Yeah, no. I mean, for me, I finally found a good therapist. And for years, I've been trying to find a good therapist. Finally found one. And, like, yes, what a blessing that is. Okay. I think that's all I have. I adore you guys. Thank you so much for coming
on.
This was so fun. I'm so excited now to be on your podcast.
Yeah.
I know.
But where can everybody find you? I mean, obviously Big Little Feelings, and you have your own podcast, Big Little Feelings, and anywhere else they can find you.
Yeah, you can find all of our courses at biglittlefeelings.com/courses and follow us on Instagram at Big Little Feelings.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. I'll have all the information about your courses and everything.
Perfect.
Cool.
Yay.
That was so fun.
Okay, good.
I love that.
Good. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you loved this episode. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. I'd love to hear what you think and anything more or even less you'd want to hear about. Tune in every Tuesday for a new episode. If you want to know more about what I'm up to, you can find me on Instagram at Whitney Eve Port, my website, whitneyport.com, and my YouTube channel, Whitney Port. Peace in the streets.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.